from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
Our prelude, Be Thou My Vision, is by Michelle Adstaji on a saxophone and Reverend Lovins on the trumpet, accompanied by Phil Lewis.
It is good to be here in this sacred space, in the shelter of God's love and hope. It is good to be here with folks we know so well as with new friends, joining with all of God's beloved sisters and brothers of Jesus. It is good to be here where we can hear God's voice calling us to be eyewitnesses to the Spirit's presence. We thank you, O God, on this day that you have given to us to enjoy, to reflect, to worship, to love together. We thank you, O God, for smiling upon us and giving us peace, peace that passes understanding. And as we come before you, O God, with thankfulness in our hearts, we pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our anthem is by our kids' choir, God's Singers. And it's entitled, He is Powerful. It's directed by Beth Dent.
Thank you.
Reformation and Old Testament reading is by Brad Frederick.
Still speaking, God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 8 through 16a. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come forth to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, on all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall smite them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Senini. I sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her second child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Our New Testament lesson today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first, seek first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our minister, Reverend Andrew Lovins, has now moved to Freedom's United Church of Christ in Warrenton, Missouri. We wish him well on this new adventure in his life, and we invite you to listen to his final sermon at our church entitled, The Opposite of Faith.
I have always been a worrier, and I was telling the good folks over at Salem UCC this morning that's probably my birthright as a human being coming from the family that I'm part of. When I was growing up at home, I knew that something was up, that things were difficult and the family was going through a time of trial, because my mom would kind of scurry through the house, cleaning, doing this, that, or the other thing, and she would be muttering under her breath the whole time, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you would think that that would soothe all of my anxieties and make me feel like all is well with the world, but it actually had the opposite effect. I thought, oh no, what's happening now? Mom's calling out to Jesus. Something's wrong. And so she has imparted that to me. And I have to say, in my 20s, I was a real worrywart. I remember the birth of my first child, my daughter, Andy, because I didn't know enough to worry about anything. All I knew is that she was coming, and I wasn't worried about how much she would cost or the doctor bill or about the nursery because I was just so young. All I knew is I was going to be a dad, and that's pretty cool. But after about 4 or 5 years passed, then my sons come along, and now I'm thinking about, how am I going to take care of them? How am I going to afford this? Do we have enough room? Is the nursery big enough? And I can't even remember the day of their birth. It's like a blur, because the only thing that I was thinking about is tomorrow and 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. I've always been sort of troubled by worry, and that's why our gospel lesson today speaks to me at such a deep level. Because Jesus says 5 times in our gospel lesson, do not worry. And we might think, well, that's easy for Jesus to say. He's the Son of God. But Jesus lived in a time of real oppression. He lived in a context where people were literally just surviving, scraping by the skin of their teeth. His people were under the thumb of Rome. There was a foreign oppressor occupying the homeland. They literally didn't know from one day to the next if there would be enough food for everybody in the house. And in that context of oppression and real angst, Jesus says, hey, it'll be all right. Do not worry. And he says it for several reasons, I think. First of all, he says, do not worry, because worrying is useless. It's useless. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? How can you improve anything at all by worrying? Then he says, do not worry, because not only is it useless, but it's senseless. He says, just look around at creation. Look at the birds of the air, and look at the grass, and look at the flowers, and how beautiful everything it is. Have you ever seen a blade of grass or a flower wringing its hands in anxiety? Have you ever seen a bird worried? No, because intuitively they know God is going to feed them. So he says, don't worry. Then he says something else. He says, do not worry, because worrying is godless. It's useless, it's senseless, and it's godless. It was Father Richard Rohr who said that today in the church world, we've become alarmed because it seems like there are so many people who are no longer affiliated with the church. And we know that the number of self-professed atheists is rising, and people who are non-affiliated, that number is rising too. And we wonder, what is going on? What has happened to our culture where people are losing faith or walking away from the faith? And we're troubled by things like atheism. But it's interesting, Father Richard Rohr says that the opposite of faith, according to Jesus, is not atheism. Rather, according to Jesus, the opposite of faith is worrying. The opposite of faith is anxiety. Because a person who's worrying, they may go around all day long saying, oh, I believe in God. But when they are bound by worry and anxiety and excessive care, they're living as if there is no God. Jesus says, don't worry, because it is a godless activity. And what does worry do? It just blinds you to the beauty that's everywhere around us. It's sort of like, you know, driving through a beautiful meadow or a pastoral scene on a bus, and there are deer that are prancing over the hills, and there's beautiful streams and flowers, and it's a sunny day, and it looks something directly out of a movie, the art of God, and yet we don't appreciate it at all because we have the shades pulled down. And that's what worry does. It's like pulling down the shades over our spiritual eyes, and we don't appreciate God's goodness to us. There's a legend about the Buddha who was trying as desperately as he could as a young man to find enlightenment. And so he sought the counsel of several spiritual masters to learn certain techniques or formulas so that he could get to a place of enlightenment. And it didn't matter how hard he tried or how hard he worked, it eluded him. He couldn't become fully enlightened. So finally, he gives up. He quits. And one day, in exasperation, feeling that he's failed and he'll never come to that place of spiritual evolution that he seeks, he sits underneath a fig tree in total resignation. And in that moment, out of nowhere, suddenly, it hits him. He is enlightened. Well, several years later, his students are asking him, well, how can we get to the same place? How can we too become enlightened like you? Give us the formula. Give us the technique. Show us how. And the Buddha says, well, there really is no technique. There is no how. Oh, there surely has to be something. And then the Buddha says, I think with a wink, well, next time you're sitting underneath a tree, he says, to be enlightened, when you inhale, be aware that you're inhaling. And when you exhale, be aware that you're exhaling. And then you will be enlightened. Huh? Doesn't sound all that spiritual, really. But it is. And Jesus says something very similar to that. He says, look at the birds of the air, right? He says, consider the flowers of the field. He says, basically, they are living in the moment. They are fully present now, aware that God is everywhere present, and God is feeding them and taking care of them. It was St. Irenaeus who said, the glory of God is man fully alive. Let me ask you a question. When you are full of anxiety and worry and divided thoughts, thoughts are crowding your mind about tomorrow and about the future, are you fully alive? No. It's like the shades have been pulled down and you don't see the beauty that's everywhere around you. The fact is, all we have is right now. All we have is this moment, if you think about it. The past is past. We can't get on some kind of time machine and go back to the past and experience that again. Nor can we somehow go into the future, because the future really is just an idea, a concept, right? What we really have, what we really can put our hands upon and shape and mold and experience and taste is today, this, right here in front of us now. And Jesus says that very thing. He says, don't be worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In fact, the name God says something about the now, the here. Hebrew scholars say that the personal name of God that God has given to us in the Old Testament is Yahweh. And this is how God has identified God's self to us. But now Hebrew scholars are saying that it's more than just God's name, because Yahweh is meant to mimic the sound of breathing. It is meant to mimic the sound of breathing. Yahweh. And isn't that interesting? Because when a child is born and they come into the world, and the doctor swats their behind and they take their first breath, they're not just taking a breath, they're breathing out God's name. And when an old man is on his deathbed and he's getting ready to go into the next world, and he breathes his last, the last thing coming from his body is the breath, Yahweh. And it's meant to suggest that God is present. God is close. God is here, now, today, in this moment. And how close is God? How present is God? As close as your breath. And so what Jesus is saying, don't let thoughts about the past or about the future consume you so that you can't enjoy the present. God is with you now. God is your refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. Who here wants to be free from worrying? Who here wants to just ditch anxiety? Who wants to just take the backpack of cares and just set it aside and cast them on God? I do. I'm worried. I'll confess, I'm worried. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about Tuesday. I'm worried about Ash Wednesday. I'm worried. New stuff frightens me. And yet God says, Andrew, people of God, live in the present. God will take care of you. Then there's something else. Jesus says, you want to be free? Oh, I want to be free. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you have need of, God will take care of that. God will add that to your life. Now, I get tripped up over the word kingdom. Because when I think kingdom, I think a palace, right? I think almost of like a walled city, and somewhere inside of a castle or a palace, there's a king inside of a throne room, and this king is sitting on a huge chair, you know, and it's got guards protecting him. This is my concept of kingdom. But Jesus, if you read the Gospels closely, says, no, that's not really it. He says, the kingdom is not yet physical. In fact, there was a time when the Pharisees come along and they ask the question, so when will the kingdom of God come? And knowing what I know about Jewish culture in that time, it was probably motivated by racism, bigotry, because they wanted God to squash the Gentiles, and they wanted the kingdom of God to come in a violent way and to exalt them. Jesus says, no, it's not like that. He says, it's not like that at all. In fact, Jesus says, when the kingdom comes, no one will say, oh, well, there it is over there. That's it. That's the kingdom right there. He says, no, it's not like that. He says, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And think about who he's saying this to. He's saying this to the Pharisees, who weren't exactly warm and cozy with Jesus. And so really, it's an invitation, right? He's talking to the Pharisees, and he's saying, look, guys, you're looking for the kingdom somewhere out there for some kind of violent invasion. Jesus is saying, I want you to know the kingdom of God is right in front of you. Right in front of you. Staring at you. And if you just open your heart, the kingdom can live within you. Paul reiterated that same concept. He said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, right? But he said, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. I'd like some of that, wouldn't you? Righteousness, peace, well-being, joy, deep within. And it's possible. Think of it like this. This is how I've thought about it this week when I've been sort of dissecting the scripture and trying to get at sort of the nugget of what's there. Oh, down the road about 40 miles, I guess it's 40 miles, we have Lake of the Ozarks, right? And Lake of the Ozarks is like one of the largest man-made lakes in the United States. It's like 93 square miles. It has over 1,300 miles of coastline. I didn't realize it was that big. And at its depth, it's 130 feet. That's deep. Suppose sometime this week it's a cloudless day and the wind isn't blowing and the water is like glass. Suppose I go out there and I get out there in a boat and I have this large boulder, I mean a big one. And I get to the center of the lake, the deepest part of the lake, and I lean out over the boat and I drop the boulder in the water. What's it going to do? It's going to make a splash. And there's going to be spray all over me. And it's going to make a wave, right? But go down 50 feet, 100 feet. Go down 130 feet. when that boulder makes the splash, are the fish down there at 130 feet going to go, oh my goodness, we should be worried because Andrew has dropped a rock in the lake? Are the 80-pound catfish that I'm told are there going to say, oh, better call the doctor for some Xanax? Andrew's ruined our habitat. Our life is over. No, because down that deep, they're not even going to feel the wave. They might barely hear it. And I think that Jesus is saying something like that. I think what he's saying to us today is, you want to be free from anxiety and worry and tension and all these kinds of things? I think he's saying, get out of the shallows and go deep. I think he's saying, there is a place called the kingdom of God that's not out there somewhere in the future, but it's right here, right now, today. It's right in front of you. And if you will just open your heart, righteousness, joy, and peace, the peace of the kingdom of God can invade your heart and transform your existence. I think that's what he's saying. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God, the reign of God in the human heart, and all these other things will be added unto you. There's a place so deep that anxiety can't reach it. A place in God so deep, so rich and beautiful that worry can't reach it. I'm not there. As is evidenced by this morning, I get up out of bed. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help me through this day, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How am I going to make it, Lord? Got so much to do. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But maybe one day I'll get to the place where I'll remember. It's a Jesus. It'll be Jesus. The name of God. The God who is as close as my breath. Who promises to take care of me and take care of you. Always. He is the God who is with us and in us, always and forever. We thank you, O God, for your word to us today. Help us to go a little deeper, to find our center in you. We're going to need your help, O God, going forward. But we are confident that you will give it, for you have given it. Thank you for being faithful. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.